So, at this time, I'd like to introduce our 10-minute speaker, which is Sarah.
Oh, really?
Come on up, Sarah.
Tell
the truth.
Yeah.
Tell the truth.
That's mine.
Okay. Sarah, alcoholic. Sarah. Yeah, he's got a toy up here. I am an alcoholic, and what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. What it was like is very simple. I was in an existence. In the end, I had ended up in a dark hole. I pretty much existed in my garage on a regular basis. I was not a daughter, I was not an aunt, I wasn't a sister. I had no life. I came from a good family, I came from a good home. My parents tried to did the best they could with what they had. And what they adopted was this cute little girl who was broken. As an infant, they got me as an infant, and I was broken. And they did what they could. I never felt like I was a part of. It was difficult. It was difficult as a kid. I'm sorry. It's by the grace of God, there I go. And sometimes reality just slaps you in the face and it's just really shocking. Because by the grace of God, that is me. That could be me. Absolutely, that could be me. That could be me if I wouldn't have found the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if when I was sitting in jail and I was desperate and I didn't know what to do and I didn't know how to stop drinking and using and I didn't think that there was any way that I could live any differently than what I was doing, and the only thing I knew how to do was put substances into my system, trying to feel normal. And the women of Alcoholics came into the jail and said that there was an easier, softer way, and that I no longer had to medicate myself. I no longer had to go to the depths of hell to make sure that I had the substances to put in my body. And when I say substances, I'm a drug addict and an alcoholic. And I'm grateful for methamphetamine. I am very, very grateful for it. Because what methamphetamine did for me in my disease is it took that accelerator and it slammed it down to the ground. And it got me to where I ended up a lot quicker. And I needed that. I needed to get in trouble for that, and I needed to be brought down to my knees. And that's what it did. And it started with alcohol, and it ended with alcohol. And I couldn't get drunk, and I couldn't get high, and nothing worked anymore. And then the women said that there was an easier, softer way. My ears opened up, my heart opened up, and more importantly, my soul opened up. And I became willing. And in that willingness, I was willing to take direction. I was willing to take direction from a guy who said that he was clean and sober and that he had been out there and that he had found this wonderful program and he was a counselor in jail. And I was willing to take direction from him. And I was willing to take direction and suggestion. And when he suggested that I start a gratitude list in jail, I thought he was crazy because I had nothing to be grateful for. I was sitting in jail, and I was almost sure that I was positive I was going to be going to the penitentiary. Going to prison, that's it. And he said, just start looking for stuff that you can be grateful for. And I'm thankful that he did that. I learned to look at things where the glass is half full, not half empty. Out of every pile of shit that happens, it fertilizes something, and you can find something good in it. No matter how bad the situation is, you can find good in it. And that was instilled in me early in my sobriety when I was in jail. And when I first started that gratitude list, the stupid things I was grateful for, and I got 2 stickers on my fruit. Therefore, I had 2 pieces of tape to put pictures up on my little bin. I got jelly, actually, in my peanut butter and jelly. My bunkie didn't snore or Or she didn't get mail, which meant that she got the heroin in that she always did. That I was in jail trying to stay clean and sober and not doing this, and I had that in my face at all times. I got to be grateful because the H&I was so wonderful and they brought in these wonderful meetings. And that one of the ladies in H&I gave me a book, and I still have that book. And I followed this direction and I kept going. And when Chuck sat in that room and he looked at us and he said, "Good morning, ladies." And he said, "Take a good look around. One of you will make it to a year. One of you." And I looked around and I looked at him and I said, "Sorry, y'all ain't making it because I want this. I want this more than you. And I'm willing to fight for it." And I did. My sobriety date is January 30th of 06. So by the grace of God, I haven't had to go back out. It's a yet. I haven't been homeless. I have camped in my vehicle when I was in the midst of my disease. I haven't been to prison. I haven't stuck a needle in my arm. And I haven't killed anybody that they know of. I drove drunk constantly. And it's a miracle that I didn't hit somebody, kill somebody, take out a family. That wasn't in the cards for me. You know, I hear people say, "Oh yeah, my bottom was really low," and this, that, and the other. A bottom is as low as you want it to be. And for me, the bottom to me was sitting in county jail with no hope, no God, no love, no nobody. And when I said, "God, I can't do this anymore, I need help," that was my bottom. And today, I'm not working. I was injured a couple years ago, and if you know anything about workman's comp, it takes forever. And I'm grateful for that, you know, for that injury. Because of that injury, I got some time off from work. And I've been able to be of service. I've been able to get into this program and get into service. I was able, because of that injury, to hang out with my parents. My mother had a stroke and was very ill, and my father was failing. They were in their 80s. And that's why I say, because when I look at things, when I look back at things, and I look at stuff that I think is so horrible, that when I got hurt, I couldn't imagine, oh my God, my life has changed. But the good part is I got to hang out with my dad in the last years of his life. You know, I was on disability. I got paid for hanging out with my dad. I was able to pay my bills and keep going. I got to be able to be a part of this convention thing that is crazy. And it's amazing. When my father passed, the one thing that we were always kidding around is he said, "I want to get you out of the hellhole that you live in." And I said, "Yeah, someday. And what happened with, like, when my dad passed, my mom said, "What your dad wanted was you to get out of there. You're going to get out of there." And I've been given the gift of a property that my mother has purchased, and I get to pay rent on it. And I get this beautiful home. That's my forever home. I had an incident where a couple of critters tried to eat me, and because of that, you know, and that was a horrible experience. But out of that experience, I got to educate some doctors at the emergency room. I got to learn that sometimes being of service means allowing people to be of service to you, even though you don't want them to. And I also learned that I cannot control anything. I can't control a damn thing. And opening up my heart and opening up my life to people is being of service. I will never be able to repay what Alcoholics has given to me. You know, the Alcoholics Anonymous has given me this life. Alcoholics Anonymous gave my dad 8.5 years with a daughter who he thought was gone, was absolutely gone. Alcoholics Anonymous gave my brother back a sister who at this wedding, I was able to be a part of his wedding. His first wedding I wasn't invited to. They didn't even tell me. They waited till it was over with and, oh yeah, your brother got married, here's the pictures. And this wedding I was able to be a part of, and I was his best person or whatever you want to call it. I did not want to be here today. I really didn't. I went to a funeral of a very sweet, loving gal who to me led the most wonderful life with children, a husband, and she walked with Christ. And when she was very, very ill and failing, I wondered, how come I get to live? I have no children. You know, she has all this stuff going on. Why do I get to live and she doesn't? And you know, I got to see her sons stand there and thank me for coming. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have wanted me at that funeral. I would have caused a scene. I would have showed up loaded and drunk, and if I would have shown up at all. And I was sitting at home, and I was like, okay, how can I get out of this? How can I get out of this? And what I heard in my head was, suit up, show up, and shut up. and get in here, and yeah, suit up, show up, fess up, clean up, do all that stuff. Damn it. Because I'm still taking a suggestion from that counselor that said, why don't you make a gratitude list, when I was sitting in jail. As long as I'm willing to take suggestion, take direction, and stay teachable, I'll get another day. So if you're new or nearly new, stick around. I have found it easier to stay. I have found it easier to be in the middle of the herd, to be of service, sometimes I brush my teeth with gunpowder and shoot my mouth off, and I'm outspoken about this program. But I will give. I hope I draw my last breath sober. This is the best ride I've ever been on. This is the best thing I've ever seen. And I've tried a lot of drugs. I've tried a lot of booze. As a bartender, I tried everything that came into that bar. And this is the best. This is absolutely the best. And I know right now, I'm here. The journey is going to go on. And that's what this is. It's a journey. The destination for me is death and going home to my Savior. The journey is what I do with right now, right here, today. Thanks.
All right, another round of applause to Sarah. Thank you.